This audio presentation is the teaching of Pastor Scott Shiroma of New Hope East Hawaii. In this message about spiritual food entitled Time to Eat, Pastor Scott asks if we are eating to live or living to eat. This message was delivered on June 11th, 2017. Here now is Pastor Scott.
Amen. Thank you, Steve. And hey, thank you. Thank him for doing a wonderful job with our basketball teams. Great job. You're in charge next year, too. Yeah. So don't forget softball season. You know, it's been, go ahead, ushers. It's been 2008, the first year of our existence as a church. We won the title. And never since then have we won again. Maybe we got too big-headed, so God wants to humble us. So we, you know, maybe this is the year. But regardless, it's great fellowship. Well, it's so good to be back home. We've been to Washington, D.C. for our annual church conference. And we if you don't know, we are Foursquare. That is our denomination, Foursquare, the Four International Church of the Foursquare Gospel. And recently, some of just the amazing things that we are doing internationally. We just put up, I say we because we participate in this. We just put up a wonderful training center in Kazakhstan to train missionaries as a hub to send out. And that's so incredible. And then we were looking at the map. They showed us a picture of the map, and they call this area the red zone, like Northern Africa, India, that middle portion of the world. And this is a red zone because nobody really goes there to preach the gospel. And they were telling us through our conference is the good news is not the good news if it gets there too late. Amen? And this is just the incredible thing. There was a family that we prayed over. There was a time in the conference when they asked us to turn off our cell phones because we cannot leak their pictures out in social media, because you know how it is, right? They're going into Northern Africa to preach the gospel, this family. Could you imagine? That's kind of spooky, yeah? That's kind of like, wow, they got some faith, man. They're going into this red zone to open up a territory to preach the good news, because the good news is not the good news if it gets there too late. It was just a wonderful time. And hey, if you are ever in Washington, D.C. on Easter, this is on one of the to-do lists in Washington, D.C. Easter Sunday morning, Capitol Church puts on an Easter sunrise service at the Lincoln Memorial. They've been doing this for years. When I first heard about that, there were like 5,000. Now, 10,000 people show up Easter Sunday morning at the Lincoln Memorial for Capitol Church puts on an Easter sunrise service. So if you're ever there during Easter, you got to go check that out. I could imagine how incredible it must be. I got to talk to the pastor, Pastor Dodge, who just turned Pastor Baton over to the next generation. Wonderful, wonderful man. But if you're ever there, you got, and during Easter, maybe we just need to go check it out one Easter, but we all go, yeah? But man, it was such a wonderful time just to connect with some of our friends that we usually get to see them but once a year, because we're all doing our own churches, and you know, once a year we come together to encourage, to equip, to get caught up, and to upgrade our bylaws. But it was a great time. Thank Pastor Aaron and Jaywin for and the volunteers for keeping everything together. Because when I showed up this morning, the building was still here, and you guys all showed up, so I know they never get crazy and do something weird, but they kept everything together, and it's because of volunteers and staff like that, we get to go and do these things. So thank them, and when you see them, thank you, Pastor Aaron and Jaywin. I don't know where he's there, but I know he's somewhere, but they do a wonderful job. Now, you know, when you travel, got so much places to eat. You notice that. And although they're good, man, Hawaii people, they're always looking for some place where you get rice. It's like you gotta, I mean, sometimes, and sushi rice, that's quite, not quite enough. It's just a little piece of rice. And I was thinking, man, when we go away, sometimes we get so excited to eat. You know, oh, look, Joe's Crab Shack, yeah. In-N-Out Burger, yeah. And I was thinking, like, man, I get so excited sometimes to eat. Because, you know, I love to eat. But in my older age, I cannot eat at the capacity that I used to. Man, I tap out so many times. Or what I call it, I do the J-Win. Because you ever go out to eat with J-Win, he eats half or less of his food. And the rest is like, oh, well. So I tap out and I think, do I get that excited to eat spiritual food? It's like, whoa, boy, I better kick myself. I got to get my priorities right. Because I need to be excited to eat spiritual food as well as physical food. So I was thinking, do I live to eat or do I eat to live? Sometimes you put me at one table with Filipino food. I live to eat, honestly. You put me at one salad bar, I eat to live. It's a fact of life. I'm honest. Man, what, sometimes you go and I think, wow, I get to go eat at this sushi place. Or we, on the way back from Washington, we had to stop in LA because my wife's favorite place on earth is, yeah. And you know, I see more smiling faces in here than in the place that they proclaim to be the happiest place on earth. Everybody's miserable there. They're grumbling because of long lines and they're like, and over here, you guys are all smiling. Not because of me, because of God, right? But, you know, we do all those things and we found a Korean barbecue place. Oh, the food was good and they had rice and they could order as much rice as you want. And, I mean, gluttony, man. You just eat and eat and eat until you're, like, over full. And then you leave there miserable. But, you know, today's message is time to eat. It's talking about our spiritual eating, our spiritual nourishment. I mean, if you were to think about it, can you honestly say right now you are exactly where you want to be in your relationship with God? If you look back on your life, do you see a changed life, a brand new creation as we should be? Are you transformed? Are you like me? I consider myself a walking miracle because of what God has done in my life. See, in our spiritual growth, it's a journey. It's a day-by-day journey. It's not a destination. Okay? Spiritual growth is a journey that we go on, and I think we do this until the day we die. Now, getting fed spiritually, I really believe that it is a choice. You can choose to be nourished spiritually, or you can choose not to. You know, when I was a child, all I wanted to eat was candy. And sometimes even as an adult, so all you like to eat is candy. But is that going to nourish your body? Or are you going to end up with diabetes and, you know, bad health? So it's a choice. You know, as a kid, I wanted to eat Pop-Tarts, Fruit Loops, and that was it. I didn't want to eat greens or vegetables or spinach and all that kind of stuff that would supply me with the proper nourishment. I think that's why God gave me parents. He said, no, no. I think that was their favorite word, no, no. And I remember as a little kid, every so often, I would sneak a spoonful of sugar. How many of you did that when you were little? We only get a couple honest people in this church, eh? Man, I used to love sugar. Why? Because it was sweet. Right? And sometimes, you know, they would catch you and they say no. They made sure that that's why I like pizza, because you got your food groups and all of those in your, you know, with your vegetables, your meat, your dairy, and your breads right there, all four food groups one time. But they would kind of make, you know, because when you're a little kid, you don't know much about nutrition and eating a balanced diet. So that's why you had parents, and that's what they taught me. And, you know, if not, who knows where I'd be right now. But as you grow up, as you mature, you kind of learn to eat hopefully a little bit healthier. And you grow up, you feed your body what it needs to grow. Sundays, we come here and we try to prepare a meal for you, a spiritual meal for you that would help you grow in your walk with the Lord. And I hope and pray that that is not the only spiritual food that you get all week. We provide you with a reading plan so that you can get your daily dose of spiritual nourishment. Now, having spiritual food, getting spiritual nourishment, that is something that is up to you. You got to want it, you got to choose it, and you got to be willing to go through and go forward and do what you need to do to get fed. Now, I heard people say that, you know, sometimes they don't go to a church because they're not getting fed. And some people left this church because they say they're not getting fed. And I think wherever God leads you to worship and to fellowship in, you got to make up your mind to say that I will be fed here. Because sometimes you can put a block and not get fed. And in Matthew 4, Jesus said, it is written, man does not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of God. See, Jesus was in the wilderness. He had fasted for 40 days, so you could imagine he probably was hungry. I mean, if you ever skip the meal, and sometimes I skip a meal, and man, I hate it when I skip one or two meals, and you ever get the shakes? I'm just so hungry that you feel like you're going to pass out because you skipped the meal, and you're hungry, and it's the first food that comes around. You just devour it like an animal. That's me. Sometimes when I get caught up in doing stuff that I really like doing, maybe like fishing or cutting up pieces of wood, I would go like all day and not eat. And then my wife would come home and scold me. And then when I get in to eat at like 6 o'clock in the evening, I am shaking, ready to pass out. So Jesus was fasting. He was hungry. The devil tempted him. And the devil said, hey, you know, you're God. Turn these stones into bread. But Jesus answered and said, you know, man does not live on bread alone, but every word that comes out of the mouth of God. So that was his response. So we get nourishment from what we eat. So if we eat junk food all day and all week, we're not going to be very nourished. Yeah? If you watch TV all day and all night, and that's what you put in spiritually, then you're not very nourishing. But if you balance that, you know, you watch a little TV, because we all got to watch ESPN once in a while, right? And some of you got to watch Law and Order. Some of you like The Walking Dead. Yeah, I see you smiling now. And, you know, but we got to balance that out with some spiritual stuff that we got to put in. Yeah, we got to put in good stuff too. And I think this is one of the things we do. We get fed by doing God's will. In John 4:34, Jesus said, my food, said Jesus, is to do the will of him who sent me and to finish his work. What was happening here? Well, Jesus was at the well. The disciples went into town to get food, and the Samaritan woman was there. And Jews and Samaritans never really mix, especially the men and the women. But Jesus asked the Samaritan woman for a drink. And she was like, why are you asking me for a drink? You guys don't associate with us. And when his disciples came back with food, Jesus wasn't hungry. And it was like, what, somebody gave him food? Did he have food? Did he sneak food? No, but he said, my food is to do the will of him who sent me. You notice if you are in God's will, if you are doing God's will, you would never say, I am not getting fed. Every church that I've been to where the word of God was preached, I got fed. Whether it was good or bad, I got fed. I mean, how many of you had bad meals? The kind of like, oh, this is burnt. This is no more salt. This is like, oh, what did he put in here? That's all of you who ate my cooking at men's ministry, right? And even if you ate it, you still got fed, right? Even if it was burnt toast, you still got fed. Even if I put too much patis inside there, you still got fed. See, we get fed by doing God's will. Well, what is God's will? Well, I know, first of all, God's will for us is to be saved. That is first and foremost, I think, on God's will for every human being. First and foremost, I think he wants all of us to be saved. He does not desire that anyone perish, no matter what you did or how bad you may have been. In 1 Timothy 2, 3, and 4, this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who desires all men to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. So that first and foremost is be saved. Second, after we get saved, we gotta be disciples. We need to become learners. We need to get into the Word so that we can learn what he wants us to do. And Luke 9:23, and he was saying to them all, if anyone wishes to come after me, he must deny himself, take up his cross daily, and follow me. Now, the more you get in tune with God, the clearer God's will be. It will be crystal clear. But it begins by you saying, yes, Jesus, I accept you as my Lord. Then getting into his word to learn what he desires from us. Okay? So, we get fed by doing God's will. I do God's will by serving, by preparing, by studying, by making sure everything is prepared and ready for you on Sunday, and to go to the hospital when I needed to go and do weddings and funerals and baby dedications and all those things. I believe that's what God equipped me to do. Now, we also get nourished from being connected to the right source. Because how many of you know you could be plugged into the wrong source? You could be plugged into the wrong group of people who will be telling you the wrong things, or you could be plugged in to the right type of people who will encourage you and guide you and help make sure you're on the right path. In John 15, if you ever read John 15, it's a wonderful, wonderful chapter about being connected and plugged in. John 15, in verse 4 and 5, abide in me and I in you. As a branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, so neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. So if we're not plugged in to Christ, then we're kind of, if you like, maybe if you can picture a baby in a mother and that umbilical cord giving nourishment. Now, if that thing was severed, that baby would not survive. Like the fan plugged in. If it's not plugged in, it's not going to serve its purpose. It's just going to be a box with blades doing nothing. And if we're not plugged into the right source, we're just going to be maybe like the walking dead. Who knows? But in order for us to do that, we got to make sure we're plugged in to the right source. Psalms 1, verses 1 to 3, and this is a wonderful verse. Yeah, listen, how blessed is a man who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked, Man, I used to be that guy who used to give wicked counsel before. Come on, bro, we go out, we go drink. We go do this, we go do that. All the bad stuff. I used to be that guy. Nor stand in the path of sinners, nor sit in the seat of scoffers. But the new me, this is it. But his delight is in the law of the Lord. And in his law, he meditates day and night. He'll be like a tree firmly planted by streams of water, which yield its fruit in season, and its leaf does not wither. And whatever he does, he prospers. Don't you want to be like that? Whatever you do, you prosper. So, okay, we, in order to be connected, to stay connected, we need to do some things. We need to be disciplined. Discipline. How many of you hate that word, discipline? How many of you was disciplined when you were a little kid? How many of you are disciplined at work in front of everybody else? Oh, that's hurt, yeah. But there's that kind of discipline, and there's that kind of discipline where you say, I am going to get up every morning and read the word. I am going to pray every night before I go to sleep. And I think that's the discipline we're going to be looking for. For the grace of God that has appeared, bringing salvation to all men, instructing us to deny ungodliness and worldly desires and to live sensibly, righteously, and godly in the present age. And to do that, it takes discipline. You know, I think most of us here, we're disciplined enough to get up and to go to work when we're supposed to go to work. That takes discipline. You got up this morning, you pressed snooze 3 times, but you made it to church. That takes discipline. We all need discipline because it's a choice to get fed spiritually. It takes discipline to be plugged into the right source. It takes discipline to eat salad. It does. Either that or it's the doctor saying, or if, you know, one of those. And then reading. You got to learn to read. I was looking at this saying I've seen on the mainland. You have to learn to read before you can read to learn. And when I started reading the Bible, I had no clue what I was reading. It was like foreign language. I had to kind of learn all over because, man, sometimes the Bible is difficult. But I found a Bible that I could understand, that I had to learn to read so that I could read to learn. Then you had to learn how to use the concordance so you can look up the different meanings of different words. You know, because reading, honestly, how many of you, reading is like a sleeping pill. You open the book, you read one chapter, you fall asleep. Yeah. Even me. I mean, I was on the plane, I read, I fell asleep. I got up, I read, I fell asleep. And you know how hard it is to sleep on a plane. But reading can put you to sleep on the bumpiest plane rides of all. And I think the devil invented television because television can keep me from reading. Especially when got one good sports game on TV. And sometimes I'd rather watch TV than read. But it takes discipline. Because I notice when I read, sermon writing becomes so much easier because I have so much input coming into my mind. But it takes discipline. Joshua 1:8 says, this book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will find success. How many of you want to be prosperous and successful? And everybody better raise their hand. I mean, yes, we want prosperity, we want success. But in order for us to get those things, man, we gotta be disciplined. We gotta be plugged in so that we know the decisions we need to make. In Matthew 4:4, again, but he answered and said, it is written, man shall not live on bread alone, but on every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. So once we get plugged in, once we discipline ourselves to read, to pray, to fellowship, now we got to have obedience. Because sometimes God's going to ask you to do some stuff that you might not be comfortable with. But that's all part of your growth. That's all part of your nourishment, is stepping out in faith. James 1:22 says, do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourself, but do what it says. Do what it says. Can you imagine those people that we prayed over that's going to go to Northern Africa? Man, I couldn't imagine what must have been going through their mind when God says, go to Africa and preach the word. What? Crazy. You sure? I would be questioning. I would be like, you sure? I would like, show me a sign. Do something. But obedience. When God called me out here, that was a stretch, man, because I had a nice, comfortable office. I was in a church with air conditioning. Think about it. I came here. It was April when we, it was March when we came. It wasn't hot yet. And then when we did Wednesday nights, the termites invaded us. Like, God, you sure? But obedience. Man, we got to listen. You know, it's always, you know, when that dinner bell rings, I mean, we are so excited to eat. Or is it only me? When that dinner bell rings, so excited to eat. But what about the spiritual stuff? You know, when we were on the, when we were in LA, Sunday morning, it's like, yeah, Sunday was a good day. Sunday morning, we got up. And because we wasn't going to Disneyland, we got to get up a little bit later. And we went to the Rock Church in Anaheim. And I was listening to Pastor Derman speak, and I was watching him walk. He stands right on the very edge of the stage. I go, yeah. Just like how we stand on the, I love him. And he was talking about how we speak and God's word and how we speak stuff that's not God's will. That's why we suffer. And I was so excited to be in this church. I mean, their stage was this big. All right, their stage alone was this big. 10 singers across the front. Guitar players, 2 keyboards, a piano, drums, saxophone, everything. But no harmonica. Yeah! And it was a wonderful, wonderful church. And friendly people. They don't hug, though. They have to learn that part yet. But they high-five you. They gave us a free book, and it was a nice church, and I was so excited to get up. I couldn't go on the 28th because we were in the air flying, so I missed church. And man, sometimes when I miss church, it is just, you know, I can't help, but it's not the same. And I love being in this fellowship. I missed home. It's good to go away and to learn new things, to experience new churches. But it's always great to come back. And it's always good to be excited when they say, it's time to eat spiritual food. Right? I mean, come on, spiritual food. Right? Better than salad. Amen? No amen. Not from my wife. She likes salad. That's why I had to start a garden so I could grow lettuce, because her lettuce budget was just like going out of this world. But like, yeah, spiritual food, we got to get excited, amen? Bible study, we got to get excited, amen? I mean, it's like, oh, I'm going to eat prime rib. Yeah, you're excited, but what about spiritual food? Because prime rib, it's going to come in and it's going to be out in 24 hours. Spiritual food is going to be in and it's going to stay there forever. What has more benefit? But what are we more excited to eat? I'm like you. Sometimes prime rib sounds better than reading Leviticus. Oh, not this again. Oh, Lord, I got to read Numbers again. I don't want to read that book, right? Or the book of James, which, boom, it just gives it to you straight in the eyes, man, Christian living. But we got to get excited about our spiritual food. Amen? And that's what I want you to get. I want you guys to get excited. Pick up the bookmark. Start a group that reads. We do one on Wednesdays and Thursdays, one at Blaine's in Orchardland, one at Blaine's in Industrial. Jaywin does one Friday mornings at his shop. Man, get excited. Pastor Aaron does one at Starbucks. I think they get there before it opens on Monday. So if you can get up at 4:30 Monday morning, except when he's fishing, but man, you know, find a group. Get excited. I've been doing the one at Blaine's Industrial for over 10 years. And it's such a good group of guys. We keep each other accountable. It's like a buffet because I have my devotions and I get their devotions. So when I'm not there, I usually text them my devotions. They text me theirs. So I'm still getting fed. And it's such an exciting thing to be in the Word, to learn something new every day. Amen? You can put all your notes. I'm going to ask the worship team to come up, and I'm going to ask you to bow your heads and pray with me. You know, God's will for us, first and foremost, is to be saved. How do you be saved? The Bible says that you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, and you shall be saved. So I'm going to ask you to bow your heads and close your eyes. And if you desire to be saved, meaning that you desire one day to be in heaven, then I would ask that you would pray this prayer with me. It goes like this. Heavenly Father, thank you for Jesus. I repent of my sins, and I turn to you. Come live in me. Change me. Cleanse me. Make me the person you want me to be. I receive you, Jesus, as my personal Lord and Savior. With your heads bowed and your eyes closed, if you prayed that prayer for the first time, would you hold up a hand? I want to pray for you. Anybody out there? God bless you over there. Anybody else? God bless you over there. Anybody else out there? No shame. See, you put your hands down. Lord, you have seen the hands that went up. And that was your will for them, that they be saved. And Lord, now I pray that we would help them take the next step to become learners of you, to be disciplined in reading, to be obedient to what you call them to do. Lord, use us as a family to help guide them, to strengthen them, to nourish them, to help them to stay on the right path. For this is your desire for each and every one of us. Thank you, Lord, for this fellowship. Thank you for each one here. We love you, Lord. We pray in Jesus' name. And all God's people said, amen.
You've been listening to Pastor Scott Sharoma of New Hope East Hawaii. New Hope East Hawaii meets each Sunday at 9 a.m. at Christian Liberty Academy, 16-675 Milo Street in Keau, Hawaii. For more information, call us at 808-936-6651 or visit www.newhopeeasthawaii.com.